It's a Body Armor station takeover on ESPN Louisville. Body Armor, the official sports drink of March Madness.
UPS is now hiring package handlers in Louisville. Package handlers earn competitive wages. And with UPS's Metropolitan College program, you can graduate 100% debt-free. Get in the game with UPS. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
All right, we're hanging out here on ESPN 680 105.7. Jason Anderson with you on ESPN 680 105.7. As I just told you, I might as well tell you we're right here on ESPN 680 105.7. Sports and Social Club today, Selection Monday. Down at 4th Street Live, presented by Cox's Smokers Outlet and Spirit Shop, Papa John's, and Body Armor Sports Drink, where we've got tons of crazy stuff that we are giving away down here. We've got the $25 gift cards we're giving away every 30 minutes for folks registering on-site. Started at 10 o'clock, still goes till 6 o'clock. When you register with the ESPN Louisville Bracket Challenge, you will receive, by the way, live here at the Sport and Social Club when you register here, you'll receive a card for a free appetizer with the purchase on any entree, good today or anytime this spring. Plus, the Sports and Social Club will be sampling its new menu today for folks to come down. That is today only. One winner from today's on-site registrations will also receive a golden ticket that will provide them and their guests with free concert tickets to all concerts at 4th Street Live this year, including the Derby Week lineup, Hot Country Nights, and more. And then you can spin the ESPN Louisville prize wheel, too, for instant prizes from both the Sports and Social Club and ESPN Louisville. Prizes include golf passes, Pauly D tickets, Pearl Jam tribute band tickets, gift cards from Scheller Cycling, and more. And there's free bowling all day today during the ESPN Louisville Bracket Challenge Monday here at the Sports and Social Club. And we've been going through the text line with a lot of people giving their thoughts on the ESPN Louisville hosts, what their prizes in the wheel would be. One of those being Lachlan McLean has to drive slowly in the left lane. The winner of that one, we get to ride with him. There's a couple of other pretty good ones, too. Mark Blankenbaker has to host a UK postgame show. Steve Rummage has to wear his hat actually forward from time to time. There's all those there. All right. We go around the country a couple of minutes at a time. We call it the Full Court Press. And I believe we are starting in Charlotte, where we talk to Walker Mail, ESPN 730, The Game. Walker, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I am doing just fine. I always appreciate you coming on the show. And certainly plenty of stuff to talk about there around the state. Duke and North Carolina, both one seeds. I would say last week when the ACC tournament was starting, I don't know a lot of people, certainly I am in the group, that thought that Duke and North Carolina and Virginia could all be one seeds. I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought there was a slight sort of a possibility of that happening. It did happen. The reaction around there, Duke and UNC, both number one seeds, Midwest and East.
Well, that game on Friday night, I think that proved that you were talking about two of certainly the top four teams in the country, and both teams were deserving of a number one seed when Duke and North Carolina, when they both played at the Spectrum Center here in Charlotte. And so I think most people thought there was a pretty good chance, and then I think by the end, once they got some help from some other teams just losing, so yeah. Gonzaga losing to St. Mary's, I think that certainly helped Virginia and Duke in North Carolina kind of get that number one line. And then you got some help even from Virginia to have Duke be the number one overall seed when Virginia lost to Florida State and then North Carolina. That's just all of the teams kind of equal or kind of met on equal playing ground. And so I don't think anybody was too surprised, and I don't think that the committee got it wrong at all. I think what you had there, maybe Michigan State would have been that other team that could have had some consideration to be on the one line. Yeah. And maybe Kentucky would have had they won in the SEC tournament, but eventually they lost, and so they got some help with them losing as well, which put all the three ACC teams on the one line. So they got some help from some outside teams, but overall I think the committee did a good job of selecting and landing the number one teams that they did.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think if Michigan State were to get a little bit more of a longer look, I only think it would have been at the expense of Gonzaga. So I don't think it would have been North Carolina, Duke, right, or Virginia with that happening. So Duke has Zion back, and they end up winning the ACC tournament. How much do you think it was – we know the physical, but how much do you think it was a sort of an emotional, mental boost for that team that you've got that, guy on the floor next to you?
I think that it was huge both, right? I mean, I think mentally you understand just how much this guy can help you win. And it is true that when Zion is off the court, that you have still a star-studded roster. You still have a Cam Reddish and a R.J. Barrett, who were both two of the top three overall recruits, so it's not like anybody was feeling all that bad for Duke when they lost Zion. Perhaps you were feeling bad for Zion, but I don't know how bad you were feeling for the Duke Blue Devils roster, because they still have so much talent. And yet you look at this guy and there's just nobody in the world and really in past time that you can compare him to. And I got to see him live for the first time going to Charlotte. I got to see him play a couple of games for the first time. And I'll tell you, that dunk that he had close to the baseline on the right side, where it looked like Kobe White was going to go low, and this is when Duke started to build a little bit more momentum down in the second half, or close to the end of the game. When Zion takes off from what seems to be about 10 feet, it looks like Kobe's going to go low, which is the heady play, but Zion just picks it up and he has the ability to dunk from that far out. That might be the most impressive thing I've ever seen live on a basketball court. And I've seen quite a few NBA games, and that one made me shake my head as much as any play I've seen live. And so when you have that guy that can account for, and make up for so many mistakes, and for him to be as efficient as he is, I mean, he takes a ton of field goal attempts and his efficiency is just off of the chart. And to have that guy on your team when Zion might miss his first shot, but then to have the strength, it doesn't matter how many bodies are on him, to have the strength to have that put back against North Carolina on Friday night which would eventually be the game winning field goal. Now, Zion just erases so many mistakes that you have. If Cam Reddish has the inconsistent season that he has, if he has another bad game, then you still have Zion. And then anything else after that is just icing on the cake. Zion helps you in so many ways, which I think everybody understands, but I think it gives everybody a peace of mind. And then when you have to focus on Zion, it might free up a Trey Jones to have a good game like he did against Florida State in the ACC final. It helps everything, physically, just him being on the roster, and also mentally giving those guys a peace of mind that, you know what, we're as talented as anybody in the country, and if we play to the best of our ability, then there's nobody else that can beat us.
This may come off as a question that may seem odd. I don't know how often people in North Carolina talk about it. I know we do around here. Even though Coach K has five national championships, there is some history of him losing tournaments, even with some good players, and we certainly talk a lot. Talking nationally as well, Cal Perry and all of the first-round draft picks he's had, and he's got one national championship. With that being said, how much pressure is there on Coach K and his shoulders to win the national championship because you've got Zion, and if you don't, it's almost like how can you not win a national championship with that guy on the floor?
I don't think that's a bad question. It's something that we at least mention here. So you look at Duke, and you're right that you have had some teams lose early in the tournament. We can go back to Mercer. It starts, I think, the first one you can remember, at least within, I don't know, somewhat recent memory, is VCU with Eric Maynard on that team. Right. You can go back to Mercer when Duke loses. We can go back to Lehigh. They've had the early round losses. Now, with this, it's different, right? I mean, I don't think anybody expects them to lose, certainly the 1-16. It's only happened the one time last year, and I don't expect that to happen. I do think that there's some pressure, especially with this class. Not only do you have Zion, you have the top three overall prospects, and that's never happened in all of college basketball. And when we've seen Duke, we haven't seen Duke get to the Final Four, but that 2015 year, and they did win the championship. And I do think that helps them a little bit, right? I don't think that if, let's say that 2015, Duke does not win the national championship, I think that would be a much bigger storyline now. But you did. You had a great class in Okafor, Justice Winslow, and Tyus Jones, and all of those guys going on to win it. And so maybe that's why it's not as big of a storyline, how much pressure they have. But I think that there is some pressure here. Not as much as Virginia, because they need to show that they can actually get to the Final Four. But Duke does have a little bit. I mean, imagine, let's say that they lose in the Sweet 16, a potential Virginia Tech matchup would be there, and Virginia Tech has beaten them already without Zion, which deserves to be said. But they also didn't have Justin Robinson, who was going to come back, and he's a guy that averages almost 14 points and gets you 5 assists per game. You know, he's a big get for the Hokies. Let's say they lose to them in the Sweet 16. Well, that would certainly be a matchup where the Hokies don't have a whole lot of pressure, and Duke does, because they have everything to lose. And as much as I love Zion and Duke, you know, this is a team that I think if they don't hit the threes, I mean, this is a team that is beatable. As much as they've been great with Zion on the roster, you know, I think that this is a team that can be beat. So I don't think it's ridiculous at all. I think there is some pressure for the Blue Devils.
What about North Carolina, one seed that they are in the Midwest, and there is a chance that the top three winningest programs in college basketball history could all be in the Sweet 16 in the same building with North Carolina, Kansas, and Kentucky, and some other school that might be there just sort of looking around as to, hey, how'd you get invited to the cool kids party? We'll see who that team is if those teams end up making it. But this North Carolina team is playing like one of the best teams in the country, and they are, you know, a point or 2 points, I guess, from winning and winning the ACC tournament and them being the number one overall seed. Is North Carolina, in your mind, are they the second best team in the country, or is it sort of maybe, you know, indecipherable between Duke and North Carolina that they're both that good and any given night it could be 5-5 if they played 10 times?
I think we saw the best two teams in the country play that Friday night. I think it was Duke and I think it was North Carolina. And you look at some of the stats. Let's say you look at some of the analytics and the expected field goal percentage for North Carolina based on all the shots from the spots that they took them on the floor, how open they were. When you look at the expected field goal percentage, it was supposed to be, it certainly looked like it would be around 52% or something like that. They missed a ton of shots, and eventually they settled on something under 40%, and they eventually shot just 30. You know, they couldn't hit any shots from beyond the arc, and I think a lot of that is credit to Duke's defense, but also I think North Carolina just didn't hit the shots that they usually do. I think Duke, if Cam Reddish gives you just an average game, and Trey Jones is able to contribute just in an average game, and RJ and Zion give you what they're able to give you, I think Duke is the best team in the country, and it's going to be really hard for any team to beat them. But I think North Carolina is that other team. I think both of them are the most of the best teams in the country. Both of them are. And when North Carolina just has so many guys that can beat you. So if Luke May doesn't show up, then you can expect Cam Johnson to go off for 20 and be efficient. You know, Kobe White is somebody that has gotten better as the season has gone on. So you have, you know, a few seniors in Cam Johnson and Luke May who can contribute, and Kobe White, and then Roy Williams. And it's just another year where he'll play guys at the beginning of the season that you might question why they're getting minutes, and then at the end it's, oh, that's why, because they get so comfortable, and then you have a guy like Brandon Robinson who's able to give you a couple three-pointers in crunch time, and that's somebody that everybody was scratching their head, like, why is Brandon Robinson getting so many minutes? And you see that every single year from a Roy team. He schedules really tough at the beginning. Everybody acts like the world is coming to an end in North Carolina basketball. And then as the season goes on, they start to straighten it out in conference play, and everybody gets better. And this is the heels team that you end up with at the end of the season, where they get a number one seed. So, yeah, I think both of those teams are fantastic, and I think they're the best. You know, you can make an argument for certainly a handful of teams. I think, you know, Gonzaga, with what they did this season, certainly deserves some consideration. I think Virginia does as well. I mean, there's a handful of teams you could put in that argument. But I would say that Duke and North Carolina are the best two that I've seen.
All right, real quick. I filled out my bracket earlier today. I wrote Duke down 6 times, and I left the rest of it blank, and I said done. But if that doesn't happen, if neither North Carolina or Kentucky, if either one of them are not in the Final Four in that region, what's the biggest hurdle for either of them? Are they both the two seeds?
Yeah, I think so. I would go with the two seeds. I mean, I like Tennessee. You know, I think Rick Barnes has done an incredible job with that Tennessee team. And then you look in that region just with North Carolina and Kentucky. You know, I Kansas is a team that nobody is all that high on. But if they get to Kansas City, you know, that's one of the things that I think a lot of people had issue with,
yeah,
North Carolina
absolutely
being a number one seed. If they get to the Sweet 16 and Kansas just so happens to knock off a Northeastern and Auburn, if the higher seed does win in that scenario, then they are facing North Carolina and Kansas City. And Kansas has owned North Carolina since Roy Williams has coached the Heels. They have never, and the Heels have never beaten Kansas in the NCAA tournament. So that's certainly something that could knock North Carolina off. If we're just asking, you know, who is a team in Duke's part of the region that could knock them off? I think they're relatively safe until Michigan State. I like Cassius Winston a lot, and so I think for the most part Duke is safe. I think Gonzaga probably has the easiest region, if there is such a thing. And then I like Virginia's path as well. But there are some teams that could certainly make North Carolina mess up on their way trying to get back to another title.
Walker Mail, ESPN 730, the game down in Charlotte. Walker, great stuff as always, man. Very much appreciate the time. Enjoy the tournament. I have a feeling we may be talking to you again.
Absolutely, man. I look forward to it, and I always enjoy it as well.
I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota.
Another fun place to go and talk with our man, A.J. Manzoor, KFAN, in Minneapolis in the Twin Cities. A.J., how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
We are doing just fine. The reaction around there when Minnesota popped up as the opponent to Louisville. I know the reaction around here. I'm curious what it was from Gophers fans.
Sure. Well, I'm interested to hear the reaction there as well. It was excitement here, mainly because the way that the season was going a couple weeks ago, it wasn't a sure thing that the Gophers were going to be in the tournament. They had a strong finish to the season, a couple big wins down the stretch, and then a couple wins in the Big Ten tournament that kind of solidified their spot. I don't know that they really had a preference. They would have liked to be higher than a 10 seed when you see Wisconsin get the higher seed, some of those other teams that they had success against this season. But to be in the tournament, this is a team where a bunch of these guys on this roster have not had that experience. So getting them into the tournament against Louisville, they're just excited to be there. They get a game in Des Moines that's relatively close to Minneapolis, just drive down 35W. So they like that as well. But everyone was excited that they got in, pretty confident that they were going to get in, and they were just kind of waiting to see where the chips were falling.
What about seeing Louisville? I know from the Minnesota side, it's not the same as when you say Louisville's taking on a Patino. Here, that was the reaction was, Richard, of course they put, of course. We joked about it a number of times over the last month that, you know, if Louisville's a 7 and Minnesota sitting at a 10, boy, that Louisville-Minnesota, I mean, if they're matched up against each other, does the selection committee, do they put them there on purpose, or would it just be coincidental that they ended up against each other, that you're going to have little Patino taking on Louisville? And when that happened, people just went, of course. I just started cracking up when I saw it on the screen. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sure that it was very coincidental. You kind of set the table there. It's a storyline. Yeah. If you can pull a storyline off the court onto the bracket, I think that that's where you're going to get it. I think that this is going to be one of those picks in the bracket. When you look at the bigger picture, that's going to be one of those sexy upset picks, just because Minnesota did get hot down the stretch. You have the Patino versus Patino, poll. And you got two Patinos versus Louisville right now. One's filing a lawsuit, and one's going to play him on the court. So it's going to be an interesting thing off the court, but obviously on the court, it's going to be a matchup against two teams that kind of brings some different things to the table. And I think that some of the things that Louisville brings onto the court are going to impact the Gophers potentially in a negative way. They kind of get to be playing over their head when they face teams that have some speed. They face some teams that can run the floor. They go through this Big Ten conference and it's rough and tumble and they can throw their bodies around. And if they can control the tempo and keep it that way, they're going to have a better chance. But, you get athletic players and like you guys have in Louisville, and it could be a different game that maybe they're not ready to play.
Okay, so this team, Amir Coffey, can certainly play. Jordan Murphy can play, those couple of guys. How good is this team? Who do they rely on? And when Louisville's going up against Minnesota, what's this Minnesota team going to look like on the floor against Louisville?
Well, those are going to be the two big names. Jordan Murphy, a dominant force inside, double-double machine. He could put up 30. He could put up 20 rebounds. He can be a guy that's going to have an impact. And if he gets the ball in the low post, he's kind of unstoppable. He knows how to use his body very well, knows how to use his feet in a way that big men don't always know how to. And he has a knack for the basketball when it's coming off the rim. So that's going to be one person to pay attention to. But the Gophers are going to kind of live and die with Amir Coffey. He's the kind of player that can completely take over a game, or he can disappear. And more so towards the end of the season, he's been the kind of player that can take over the game. Big Ten Player of the Week a couple weeks in a row, putting up 30-point games back-to-back. I mean, he's had those performances down the stretch, getting hot at the right time. Now, where this Minnesota team finds their flaw is turnovers and free throws. And if they get in that run-and-gun style, they kind of get a little bit ahead of themselves, they're turnover-prone. And that can impact them. And then if it gets down to the stretch in a close game and you're talking about going to the free throw line to ice a game away, I don't have faith in this Minnesota team that has struggled at the line all season long to be confident enough in themselves and ready to go to hit that free throw to win the game down the stretch.
Yeah, and Louisville is the eighth best free throw shooting team in the country. So if you get down into a free throw contest at the end, you would think the advantage would certainly be on Louisville's side in that particular case. Who do you think wins the game?
You know, I do have hope in the Minnesota Gophers. You know, I think that they're riding the high. They got a little stinker of a game out of the way with Michigan, which, you know, I don't think they had a hope in, but moving in the Big Ten tournament. So get that game, that wake-up call out of there, those bad cold shots. I think Minnesota has a chance, but I think it's going to be close. And I think it's going to come down to those free throws. And if they're able to hit them, they're going to do it. So, again, I don't trust them in that sense, but I do have a feeling that they're going to have just enough in that tank to maybe keep it ahead of a free throw game and not have it come down to those final couple shots.
AJ Mansour, KFAN there in Minneapolis. AJ, great stuff. Appreciate the time, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Rob Otto, Detroit Sports Nation there in Detroit. Rob, how are you, sir?
Great, Jason. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I'm wondering, back in the locker room for Michigan State, do they have Mr. Miyagi that can reset a bone? Because Ayers looked like his leg went in a V, and then it's like, oh, they did an X-ray. No, it came back negative. It's a sprained ankle. What? No, it's not a sprained ankle. His shin snapped.
I think probably what it is that Tom Izzo just owns March, and apparently anything he wants to do in March happens.
That's
so
right.
he just Tom Izzo willed it back into place. That's the only thing I can think of.
That makes total sense, yes. I mean, he was Ayers goes back there and was like, I let Allie down and all the people that believed in me in this All-Valley tournament, and Mr. Miyagi was like, no, you're gonna go out there on those crutches and you're going to be back on that sideline there, guy. How good is
this
Michigan?
I'm not sure that Iggy Brasdakis swept the leg, though. I'm not sure about that.
I don't think they did it on purpose. But this Michigan State team, they have battled some injuries throughout this year. I don't know that Aarons is the loss that, you know, a Langford or something like that is, or a McQuaid a little bit of time, or Nick Ward a little bit of time. This team is now the number two seed in the East, which is amazing because Duke's the number one overall seed and they're the best two seed. They could have been a one seed. What's the reaction, I guess, on the Michigan State side to that draw that the committee says they're the best two seed we have, and we're going to put them in the East as against the best number one seed we have?
Yeah, you know, the excuse was that they wanted to, you know, give Michigan State a more regional game closer to home. But I'll tell you what, Michigan State would have flown to Hawaii to play anybody other than Duke. So I don't know that it's any kind of advantage. They basically said Michigan State was the second best number two seed.
Yeah, second
best.
Why
are they
right.
going up against the first best number one seed? That doesn't make any sense. And so, yeah, the whole idea of regionalizing it, they wouldn't care what division they were in or what, you know, bracket they were in, as long as they didn't have to go up against Duke, and that's the one team that they got. So it's, yeah, they're upset, and I think they're right to be upset. I mean, think about it. The Big Ten got eight teams into the tournament, more than any other conference. So in theory, that should be the best conference. Michigan State won the regular season crown and won the tournament. And now they have to be in Duke's bracket. It's just not fair.
No, I'm in agreement. That's one of those to where, you know, you got the East, you got the Midwest and Kansas City. I guess I'm kind of just wondering the geographical difference in driving from East Lansing to Kansas City as opposed to East Lansing to D.C. Like, is it that big of a difference to where you would say, well, no, we'll give them the North Carolina Midwest and then Kentucky that is behind them. Well, then they would get the East and then Michigan would go out West as they were the fourth of the four seeds and they get whatever's left over. Mm-hmm. Because this came up in 2015 when Wisconsin was either going to be a one or a two. And the committee was saying, look, if Wisconsin's a two, we're going to put them in Cleveland, where Kentucky at the time was undefeated. And it was like, Kentucky's a one, but they're like, yeah, but Wisconsin earned the geographical seeding. I'm like, yes, but they would be going up against Kentucky. They didn't earn to play the undefeated team. If you're saying they earned it, they would rather play anybody else in Egypt rather than Kentucky close to their home. And it's the
exactly
same thing
correct.
With Duke.
Exactly.
I don't understand some of those things that they do. This Michigan State team, you mentioned, they won the regular season, they won the tournament. Overall, how good are they? And because of the injuries, how good of a I guess a coaching job has Tom Izzo done this year to put this team in this position to where they've got a real gripe about not being a one seed?
That's really odd, is that the team almost seemed to get better after Langford got injured. You know, so they went forward. Now, they have had a couple of, you know, missteps down the stretch, except second halves against Michigan. But, they have looked beatable on the road. But the way Tominzo has these guys, and Cassius Winston is just, you know, I don't know what kind of pro career he's going to have because he's pretty tiny, but he is the epitome of a great college basketball player, and he is basically Tom Izzo's brain on the floor making plays. So the two of them just clicked almost as good as Tom and Mateem Cleaves did back in the day. So having that kind of floor general on there making decisions goes so well that, yeah, this team is playing better even though they seem to have less talented players on the court.
Getting Nick Ward back, we talked to somebody around the program maybe a month ago when Nick Ward first went out, and they said, you know, I don't know that it's that big of a loss, nothing against that, but I like Xavier Tillman in the game more than mm-hmm. Nick Ward. Ward comes back, he's playing. What kind of addition is that? Is it still the, no, you like Tillman, you like Goins and Henry and McQuaid and Cassius Winston on the floor a lot, and Nick Ward just adds depth as opposed to being a guy that was a sort of a, not a high volume, but a high minutes, at least from a percentage-wise player earlier this year?
I think what it does is it absolutely helps the depth. So you take a guy that had been starting most of the year and you bring him off the bench. I mean, that's a guy that's not going to be nervous. He's not going to make mistakes. He actually might have a bit of a chip on his shoulder and say, oh, you don't think I'm the starter? I'll show you what I can do. And so he's been, you know, these last few games that he came back look really solid coming off the bench. So I think it absolutely, they are playing better with Tillman in the starting five, but the bench is better with Ward coming off the bench. So it's really turned into a win-win situation for them.
What's the key then for this team if I know that they don't like the fact that they're probably going to have to play Duke in the East, but if they're in Minneapolis, they're in the Final Four, what's the key of how this team got there and won four games?
I think what they really need to do is they need to start clicking offensively a lot quicker than they have been. Right? They've managed to come back in all three games against Michigan this year after down, you know, double digits. That's not going to happen against a team that shoots better. So it's going to have to be making smart decisions, making the easy shots, knocking down their free throws. That killed them in a couple of games this season, too. So it's really just going to have to be discipline. They're already going to play great defense. You know that coming from a Tom Izzo team. They're going to have to hit the shots that sometimes they were missing during the regular season. If they can do that, they can keep up with just about anybody.
Is this ultimately, if you're saying how far they go, is this Elite Eight and out because of Duke?
Yeah, I think that is their best-case scenario. I mean, even, you know, you look at their path through there, there's even a couple of, I mean, Yale's not going to be an easy out for LSU. Even the second-round game against Louisville might not be that easy. This is a really odd thing, and again, they had so many teams in there that was going to be this. Michigan State could play in their second-round and third-round games, could play Big Ten teams. They could play Minnesota, and then they could play Maryland. It's so bizarre. It's just a weird thing. But I think their half of the bracket is beatable. Some of them aren't going to be easy. But, yeah, I think their ceiling is an Elite Eight game.
All right, Michigan is a two seed, and they could not hold on or find a way to pull off the victory against Michigan State. They felt like they controlled that entire game until it mattered, and it got away, and Michigan State ends up winning. How good is this Michigan team? They are the last number two seed, and I will say they're the one that's kind of debated. We had a three-hour show last night talking about this, and we got on the topic of, is there eight teams and everybody else? And there was pushback from a couple people that said, no, I think there's seven teams, and then there might be Michigan, and then there's everybody else. Is that how you feel about Michigan, or are they in the, no, they're one and two, these eight teams, and then there's a clear line with everybody else?
I think it just depends on which Michigan team shows up. You know, the Michigan team that absolutely crushed Minnesota in the Big Ten semifinal, and just they got really good looks and knocked them down. Their bugaboo this season has been their offense. Their defense is always going to be solid. They make solid decisions, but there are just times, I mean, they can go 6, 7, 8 minutes without a field goal. And, you know, once you get up against the better competition, there's no way you can do that and keep the game close. So, yeah, I think they could be part of that Big Eight. I think they got the best draw in terms of number one seeds, because Gonzaga really hasn't proven a lot against high-quality competition. And so maybe they're not quite as good as a number one seed. If Michigan can get through that side of the bracket, I actually look at that number six Buffalo team on their side of the bracket. The way that they're playing, they might beat Michigan. Michigan might not even make it to the Elite Eight this year.
Yeah, it's their side of the bracket looks like if you're Michigan State, you're like, I'd probably have the West rather than the East because you got Duke. But Michigan, mean, Nevada's a good team, and that was a team at the beginning of the season. It's like top 20 for a good portion. Texas Tech, wins a share of the Big 12 and takes care of Kansas a couple times and then bows out to West Virginia in a shocking game. You mentioned Buffalo that's there. Like, there's some teams that along the way that you go, yeah, there's some pitfalls that maybe aren't there from some other two seeds. Is this a year that, is it disappointing for Beilein if he's not in the Elite Eight? Or is there the who knows how this team is going to show up? Like, what's the expectation as Thursday gets here and Michigan tips off of how far this team had better go if it's like, all right, they at least did what you were hoping they could do?
It's really interesting how different that conversation is today than before the first day of the season, because with everything, Abdul Raheem and Mo Wagner and everybody they lost from last year's season and how young and unproven this year's team was, I went into the season thinking they might lose 10, 12 games, but hopefully they're clicking by the end of the season and do something in the Big Ten tournament. Well, obviously that expectation has been, hugely. The start of the season, they hadn't lost a game until after Christmas. I mean, it's absolutely insane. And so the expectation has gone up, and yet probably their worst basketball, especially offensively, has happened over the last month. So initial expectations, making it, into a Sweet 16 would have been great. Now it feels like even making it just to the Sweet 16 shouldn't be enough for this team. And I don't know. Look at this team and how much of a drought I have seen them go on offensively. I would not be surprised. I'm not picking them to go out early. I would not be surprised if they don't make it out of the first weekend.
All right. How far do you think they go if you're picking right now?
If I'm picking right now, I'm getting them all the way into the Sweet 16, and then Buffalo's my big underdog kind of thing. They're going to be my dark horse, so I pick them to lose to Buffalo.
All right, we'll see what ends up happening. My man Rob Otto, Detroit Sports Nation there in Detroit. Rob, as always, man, great stuff. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it, man.
All right, there's a full court press on ESPN 680 105.7. Jason, with you as we are heading up until 6 o'clock, and we are having a blast down here at the Sports and Social Club, our Selection Monday coverage. Presented by Cox's Smokers Outlet and Spirit Shop, Papa John's, and Body Armor Sports Drink. We are down here all day today. Now, there's an hour and a half left in this show. Ethan Moore is actually going to be back in the studio at 6 o'clock as he'll be anchoring in the next hour from 6 to 7. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll bring you coverage of the women's bracket reveal that has already been revealed a little bit because ESPN had a mess-up earlier today that they were going to put the different brackets on the left side of the screen while the different analysts talk, and they put up the wrong bracket. They accidentally put up the women's bracket on the side of the screen, and so you got a sneak peek as to Louisville and their region in Albany, and I believe they've got UConn as the two seed in Albany, which is a real pat on the back to Jeff Walls that, hey, you earned a one seed. Now you get UConn near where they play anyway. Congrats. Enjoy that one seed. Well earned, sir. So we'll have the bracket, conversation at 7 o'clock. We're not going to, go through all of the different regions or anything like that. We'll have the, conversation that's main there. Nick Curran will be hanging out at the watch party. He'll have Jeff Walls on. He'll have some players on. Ethan Moore will be back in studio, helping out, talking around those things and also breaking down the brackets and things like that. Crunch Zone will come on at 8 o'clock. Take you up until 10 o'clock so we continue our coverage as we are going all day as usual. Our typical schedule, 7 to 6. There's nothing special about 7 to 6 today for us. That's typically what we would do anyway. I don't even know that we would call it special that we did 3 hours on Selection Sunday. I kind of feel like that's just sort of required. If you're in the business, you should probably want to do that. Not really call it work. You should want to come down here to Sports and Social Club where we've got the ESPN Louisville Bracket Challenge going on where you fill out your bracket down here. Sports and Social Club will be giving away a $25 gift card every 30 minutes until 6 o'clock. When registering for the ESPN Louisville Bracket Challenge from the Sports and Social Club, you'll receive a card for a free appetizer with the purchase of an entree that is good today or anytime this spring. Plus, the Sports and Social Club will be sampling its new menu for folks that come down today as well. One winner from today's on-site registrations will also receive a golden ticket, Charlie. That will provide them and their guests with free concert tickets to the Chocolate Factory, not 50 Cent, but to all concerts at 4th Street Live this year, including the Derby Week lineup, Hot Country Nights, and more. The golden ticket is yours. One person that comes down and registers for our bracket challenge. So you can win that. You get entrees or appetizers with an entree. You get some bowling. You enter the bracket challenge. Now, along with that, you have the ESPN Louisville prize wheel that we're calling also the Wheel of Destiny because we're creating different prizes on there that would be detrimental to some of the hosts here. But the prizes that you can win instantly from spinning that wheel here at the Sports and Social Club, prizes include golf passes, Pauly D tickets on the ones and twos, Pearl Jam tribute band tickets, gift cards from Scheller Cycling, and more. And there's free bowling all day long today, too, during our Bracket Challenge Monday down here at the Sports and Social Club. And what else can you do? Thank you for asking. You can also shoot a pair of free throws and a three-pointer, and if you make a free throw, you get a free round of bowling, and if you make the three-pointer, you get a $25 gift card to the Sports and Social Club. How about that? You make a three, you get the $25 gift card. You come in and register, you get the free, you get the appetizer. Then you get to spin the Wheel of Destiny. And one of those wins that you might get is punching Locke in the face. Like, that's an that's crazy we would put that on there. It may or may not be on there, but you don't know that until you come down here and check it out to spin the wheel. And a date with Magic Mike is also on there as well. Watching Bob actually eat a cake that has not been baked. That is also on the Wheel of Destiny that's there. By the way, we've had a ton of people texting in 437-9680. UPS Jobs text line. What else is on the ESPN Louisville Wheel of Destiny? Mark Blankenbaker has to host a UK postgame show if they win the championship. Another one with Steve Rummage has to actually wear his hat forward a little bit. I thought that was pretty good. Let's see. Locke has to drive 50 miles an hour in the left lane all the way around the Waterson, and the winner gets to ride along. Yeah. Yeah, we'll continue to do those if you have some other ones. I just like the fact that Bobby V has to eat a cake that hasn't been baked yet. That you get to hang out with him. Hang out with Bobby V while he eats a cake that has not been baked. Oh, Andy has to drink Michelob Ultra for a month. That's another one. So if you win, you give Andy Michelob Ultra for a month. How about that? Lachlan has to broadcast a live show and only talk about how great Calipari is. The winner would get to host that show with him. So there you go. All right, 437-9680. You can text those in, and we can have some fun with that as well. That's going on down here at the Sports and Social Club. No reason not to come down here except for the double negatives, but you've got every reason to be down here and fill out your bracket. And how about this extra motivation? This is let me check and see if he's still here. He is. Oh, my God. He is. This is so great, man. I would easy. You see this man in the booth over there? Just pressing, tapping buttons all over the place right there. We call him Process. And we call him Process. See, one of the added benefits of coming down here and filling out your bracket in person, besides all of the different things I just mentioned that are going on, if you fill it out in person, Process has to go through and manually click all of those teams to pick and fill out your bracket for you. Now, if you went online, you'd be entering our bracket challenge and you could fill it out yourself. But you come down here, you get all of these cool things, and you make Process have to actually fill out your bracket for you on the internet. Like, that's, I mean, you get it even better. He's a Philly guy. You make a Philly guy work. You know, I mean, that's great.
Even better? Big Villanova to get upset round one.
He wouldn't care. He talked about how he's rooting for Temple now. I'm like, what you get everybody? Anybody that played at the Nodes?
No convictions.
Yeah, I know, Magic. I know. It sucks when somebody just jumps ship on jumps ship on a team when it gets to crunch time in the tournament, right?
Exactly. You should
see somebody do
that.
No, he gets to choose every single team that plays in the Palestra. Like, that's not fair. Like, when LaSalle played a couple of years ago and almost went to the Sweet 16, he's like, yeah, LaSalle, that was a great team. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Like, you didn't root for Villanova until 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whenever it was they won the first championship with Ryan Archie Diacono. Who I used to think his name was Archie Diacono when he was a freshman, and they would say Archie Diacono. I'm like, why do they keep saying his whole name? Why is he the only guy they're saying his first and last name? Archie Diacono for three. I'm like, just call him Diacchio. You're calling everybody else by their last name. So he didn't like Villanova until that run, man. Got everybody that plays it. St. Joe's, 2004 undefeated. Huge St. Joe's fan. Let me get Phil Martelli, some more Phil Martelli in your life. All right, we need to take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. Texas says Jason has to pronounce his W's correctly. None of that W stuff. Nah. It's just added effort. Let's just say W or WDRB. I say
who's the 43rd president of the United States?
W. But I say WDRB with Rick Bozich, right? Say from WDRB. I don't think I say WDRB.
I think it's the question of is it D-U-B-Y-A-W or is it W, which is, I don't know.
It's a double U, though, right? I mean, that's two U's. Actually, it would be a double V if you're really looking at the way that it's
It's a regional thing, honestly. I don't pay that much attention to it.
But I'm saying if you were actually saying, is it called a double U, the way it's written out, you would sound like two letter U's.
Two V's. Yes.
It's two letter V's is what it is.
That's fair.
Yeah, so it would be a double V.
Look, all I know is that my dad can't say George Washington's name, and that bugs me.
What's he say, Washington?
Yeah, he's from Taylor County, so everything is Washington. Hey, can you give me that wash rag over there? I'm sorry.
My mom does the same thing, and my sister-in-law, they both, can you put that in the washing machine? No, but I'll put it in the washing machine for you. I can do that. All right, we'll do this. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling along, hanging out down at Sport and Social Club. Big Easy's in the house. He is hanging out with us. We're going to break down the NIT bracket. Home game tomorrow for Indiana. I'm not sure who they play, but I am pumped about that one. You can come down here and fill out your NIT bracket and give Easy a high five. That's what you win by filling out your NIT bracket. More Zone rolling along from the Sports and Social Club right after this on this Selection Monday here on ESPN Louisville.
All the latest news from the people who are there. The Full Court Press on Kentuckiana's ESPN 680.
Time now for an ESPN Louisville Sports Center update.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Michael Barnett, and this Sports Center update is brought to you by Universal Windows Direct. Buy one window, get one free, 0% financing for 36 months, and free installation. You'll be saying, I love my windows. Also brought to you by Cattleman's Roadhouse, where a great steak is just the beginning. The brackets are set locally. There's a lot of interest in the opening round games. Louisville basketball draws a 7th seed in the East region, where Duke is the number 1 seed and the number 1 overall seed. Louisville draws Richard Pitino in the 7-10 matchup against Minnesota to open the first round of the tournament. Thursday at 12:15, it'll be in Des Moines. That game on CBS, Chris Mack meeting with the media last night after the selection show, discussing how this year developed the Cards in pressure moments like March.
This group is one that I've said hasn't always had a ton of experience in these moments and in these games that that we've played, but I think they're better having played them and having been in those moments before. And we've done it against the best teams in the country. So we're going to have to draw on those experiences when we're in tournament play because, as you know, it's one and done.
Meanwhile, the Kentucky Wildcats are the 2 seed in the Midwest region, where North Carolina is the 1 seed. The Cats draw Abilene Christian in the 2:15 opening round matchup in Jacksonville. That game also Thursday, their game at 7:10 on CBS. Cal meeting with local media last night from his home in Lexington, already worried about how his 2 seed matches up.
Abilene Christian shoots 40% from the 3-point line. Figured we have somebody like that that's going to be launching threes. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to have to play, and you're going to have to guard threes, which means long rebounds, which gives them second-chance opportunities. We got to play that one.
And Indiana basketball falls short of the tournament in Archie Miller's second year in Bloomington. They'll be a 1 seed in the NIT opening round against St. Francis Tuesday night at 7. Romeo Lankford has said that he will play in the NIT for the Hoosiers. More Zone Jason Harrison next. Big Easy joining 5-6 live from the Sports and Social Club. This has been SportsCenter.
Your number one sports option in the afternoon is with The Zone, presented by CC Power Sports of Louisville on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Jason Anderson.
Chip was hard at work, the devil appeared from hell. He had a roll, a couple.
All right, hanging out at Sports and Social Club, going up until 6 o'clock. Louisville Sports Live, Ethan Moore will take over at 6 o'clock. He'll be back in the studio, but fun stuff still will be going on down here at the Sports and Social Club. Tons of giveaways, $25 gift card every 30 minutes, as we will be broadcasting till 6 o'clock. Selection Monday coverage going on all day long today, presented by Cox's Smokers Outlet and Spirit Shop, Papa John's, and Body Armor Sports Drink. Free bowling continues to roll along. Tons of giveaways and prizes still. The wheel of destiny that is being spun with all of these different prizes, along with now Andy Sweeney has to drink Natty Light for a week. And post as his pour of the night. It's a lot about Diener that it's just, I don't need to. It's the same ones. We don't have to go down that road. Big Easy is fumbling his headset right now. So I just went ahead and turned his mic off.
I know,
off for
I should have done that.
I know,
it's like you've only been in radio for a couple years.
Is this your first time in radio or your first time around a microphone?
I know. Usually I'm really quiet about it.
Really? You're usually really quiet about it?
Yeah, about finagling the microphone, you know. Speaking of which, can I hit on two things you hit on in the last segment after your full court press?
Absolutely.
Number
please,
one,
let's get right out of the gates the things that Easy wants to
yes.
talk about, because at 5 o'clock we will just float. So right now, go.
And, by the way, let's make it a third thing. I would like to campaign for my own mini segment within my show, calling it What Grinds Zach's Gear.
Okay.
And it just needs to be sometimes I've got a random thing that just makes me crazy. It may be sports related, it may not be sports related. I would like some imaging done around this.
Would you?
And then, you know, well, yeah, you know, I mean, what's magic doing anyway? You know, right?
I don't disagree with that.
I mean, come on. And so, you know,
not much pushback for me on that.
I don't disagree with that either.
Okay.
Don't
magic's like, so maybe just a quick open
accurate.
And close, you know, for next week. I'll give you a week. Anyway, the first of my two things. Make process, you know, your wheel of destiny. Put somebody that works that does an on air shift at your station has to be outside of their show, has to be the bracket entry guy the entire Selection Monday around when their show is on the air or even during. Make them that guy. That would suck.
No, I don't want to do that.
I know.
I got other things to do.
Well,
you
let's make you that guy.
We'll pull the management card on that one. I got way too many. You know what? Train's still got to run on time, man.
I mean, how great if Perrin Johnson's got to be the one, or Billy Reed has to be the one just entering. Like,
hey, like, look.
Is it Virginia here or not?
There's some downsides to being in management, okay? Sometimes you don't get along with the employees. They don't always like you. You can't be friends.
Yeah, I have to hear from them.
I know, right?
I'm there.
You get the text.
I'm their sounding board.
I always wonder. It's like, hey, guys, why am I not involved in these text conversations you guys have? Oh, that's right. I'm management. So, yeah, that makes sense. You don't want to include management in that.
Yeah.
So there are some downsides. And there's some
I always talk glowingly of you.
And then there are some positives. Well, I ain't doing that.
Right. No. I won't be the bracket entry guy.
Well, what if we – no, done. I've already decided. I have decided. I will not be doing that. Anybody else? Feel free.
Everybody what if? Yeah, not
yes.
doing it.
Me,
what
Drew.
If yeah,
Drew,
not doing it.
Me. Only two. Not doing it. Everybody else, you are all up for grabs there. All of you are entered in this pot, this stew that we just take a little spoonful out, this ladle, and we see who all is in that ladle full of stew that's going to be filling out those brackets.
That's right.
Next year.
And then my last one before we send it back to you for the final couple minutes of your show.
Please. Because it's not your call. Oh, it's not your show.
I think we should.
Not right now.
We should. I, you talked about like little. Annoying mispronunciations that
somebody did so that I'd pronounce WWs, which I don't really care, but that's fine. But what are your annoying?
Well, yeah, and you said Rorsch for wash, and I get that.
Well, I don't say that, but my mother and mother and sister-in-law are the Warshers. Yes.
Your own brethren here at ESPN 680 does
yeah.
it as well. Andy Sweeney, besides just flat not knowing the definition of words in some cases, like
I love it.
Like what was the one mediatocracy, whatever. What was he using?
I can't remember.
But
I love it though. I want more of it.
His mispronunciation that is my favorite is why
Will Wheaton.
Why? I don't understand why you do that. He does that all the time.
Andy literally is texting right now. So there's no way he's listening at this
point. It's a picture
of me. Oh, it's a picture of Easy on Great Day Live. You're wearing the same thing. What were you doing? Okay, that's what we're doing at 5 o'clock. We're talking to Travis right now on the phone who's been waiting. And at 5 o'clock, we're talking about Great Day Live with Terry Miners and Angie Fenton that took place this morning. I DVR'd it, so I'm looking forward to going home and watching that. Travis, take us home here in the 4 o'clock hour. Go right ahead, sir.
Well, this would be great. So I purposely wanted to just wait till Big Easy got there because I'm hoping he's going to take this and run with it, Jay. But, you know, it's funny. We're talking about just things that drive us crazy. But, I mean, I'm sure it probably drives Big Easy crazy that, you know, the ESPN 6H mantra is, you know, we give all of our coverage to Kentucky, Indiana, and IU and local sports. And yet all I hear is film teams get made fun of and fill out your NIT bracket, get a high five and everything. But last year, wasn't it the great atmosphere and it was so good for the kids? And I don't think they had an NBA lottery pick on Louisville. But just this year, it's all let's make fun of Indiana for being an NIT.
Gotcha!
Last year, we're having all kinds of selection shows and giveaways, and Bob Valvano thought it was the greatest thing ever. So I'm hoping Big Easy wants that same.
Easy should love that.
That's a great call.
Travis, I appreciate the phone call. The best thing Louisville got us was the Tiny Tim rant.
Oh, the
Louisville
NIT
is the best thing Louisville got us. But the difference being, though, Louisville was heading into the offseason knowing they were making a coaching change and trying to get back of whatever that was or get past that. They were hoping. Let's go out there and let's just support the kids. Indiana, it's like, good God, let's get the season over with, and I don't want it to go on any longer. Romeo can go pro, and I don't even know that I want Archie anymore, and what's the freaking excitement for next year, and Keon Brooks is going to Kentucky. Like, there is nothing to be excited about Indiana.
We were in
continuing
this very booth, and all we talked about on the Selection Monday, I mean, it's all coming back to me now, was Louisville players didn't want to play.
Vince Tyrant, as he was called at that time, because he said, no, you're playing in the NIT. How dare you, Vince? How dare
right.
you?
Right, that was like his first.
These kids have been through
decision.
So much.
Right.
They have been through so much. How can you make them play?
What a difference a year makes.
You're making them play in the tournament, in the NIT. They don't want to. Why wouldn't you just let them do what they don't want to do?
IU trending upward. They're a one seed in the NIT, okay? Okay.
By the way, that reaction from Louisville fans, fast forward to this year. I just hate how mentally fragile this team is. Like, they melt down the stretch. I mean, when it gets tough, they are so mentally fragile. Gee, I wonder why. Maybe they should have had Vince Tyrant around the team a little more often. They might not be a 7 seed versus Pedino. More with Easy from Sport and Social Club. That's next.
It's a Body Armor station takeover on ESPN Louisville. Body Armor, the official sports drink of March Madness.
UPS is now hiring package handlers in Louisville. Package handlers earn competitive wages. And with UPS's Metropolitan College program, you can graduate 100% debt-free. Get in the game with UPS. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.